You from today. Will you welcome Jason Holland tonight? Guys, let's stretch out your hands. Let's pray for Jason. God, we thank you for our brother. We thank you for the apostolic teacher that he is. Thank you for the word you've given him, already confirmed through our Brazilian brother. We pray that it will come forth unhindered and that we'll receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's an honor and a privilege to be here with you. You have to forgive me, I might speak a little bit slower. I'm from Texas. And often I'm preaching with a translator, so I know how you feel. Thank you for the word that you shared this morning. It confirms what God is speaking to me and speaking to the pastor. And I know it's what God is calling this church. I was getting a little bit apprehensive because I thought you were just going to go ahead and preach the sermon for me. It's totally fine. But I'm grateful that I'm able to share with you today. God has given me some specific words for this church. I'm going to share a little bit about myself as well, but I want to release those words to you. I don't know what order to go in. I think I'll end up with the prophetic words so I can get through the things, kind of like announcements. So let me share a little bit about myself. My name is Jason Holland. I serve a ministry called Joshua Nations. And you see, our goal, our focus is to train the next generation of church leaders around the world. Ministry is a little over 10 years old, and we go all over the world. We're working in more than 50 different nations to take the gospel, the good news of Jesus. We take training resources all over, and we equip indigenous leaders to fulfill the Great Commission. We do that through establishing church-based Bible schools. And right now, if you go on to that next slide, we have over 150,000 students that are going through our training. We've graduated more than 33,000 in over 6,000 schools. We go into these nations, and it's not about us. It's really about coming in with a servant heart.
Yeah.
A humility that I sense here among you just to serve the nations. There's nothing special about what we do, but we come in and we just want to equip and lift up the arms of leaders all around the world and put good tools in their hands so that they can do what God has called them to do.
Yes.
And I'm going to speak a little bit to you about that for you specifically. God has a call for each one of us, and he wants to release you. And that's where the prophetic word is going to go today. He wants to release you into that. You are right on, brother. God is going to release you. You will remember this day. Our ministry is working in 51 different nations. And I'm humbled that I've been in 50 nations. And next week I'll be in nation 51. Like many of you, I ran from God. I didn't get off into grievous sin. I didn't get off into turning my back on God in a way that would say, you know, I don't want anything to do with you. But God had a call on my life, and at 17 years old, I was running. I had my own plans. I had my own purposes. I had my own desires. And the doors were opening up for that. Now, I know, and I assume as I look around, there's many college students that are in here. I had scholarships to incredible universities like SMU, Vanderbilt. Some other schools were sending me letters. And my plan was to go and become a clinical psychologist and make lots of money. That desire was birthed out of compassion because I wanted to see people helped. But what I didn't know is it was really just the Holy Spirit that would work through words of knowledge and revelation and discernment. So I was able to speak to different situations. God wanted to use that gift in a different way rather than doing counseling and taking people's money. But releasing people into their call, releasing people into their destiny.
My God.
But I was running from God and I was running towards money. I was looking towards all of these opportunities and scholarships and the potential of having everything that an American would want. An American dream, a mini mansion, nice cars, and all of that stuff.
Teach.
I enrolled in some incredible universities, actually two of them. But the first one, I had absolutely no peace. The second one, I don't know, I think maybe I was compromising a little bit, arguing with God, or I stopped listening to God. I actually went to classes for a couple days, and I was driving home, and this inner turmoil just began to boil up inside of me, and I didn't know what to do with it. So I figured, hey, I guess I should pray. You ever do that? After a while, things get too intense. You're like, I guess I should listen to God. So I began to pray, driving back from university, and God said, you're supposed to be at Bible school. I said, what? You mean that school that I live at? Because I grew up at a Bible school. My dad was a professor there. The school that I make fun of? All of those idiots that aren't smart? I felt rebuked by the Holy Spirit and said, yeah, you're one of them. So I made a phone call to my father, since he was a professor, and I said, God's been dealing with me. He said, okay. So I'm supposed to be at Christ for the Nation. He said, yeah, I know. So why didn't you tell me? I'm just waiting for you and God to figure it out. Oh. Okay, well, can you get me in? He said, I'm sure I can. So before long, I'm enrolled with a bunch of clowns just like me, and there I met Miles. When I first met Miles, I didn't like him. I don't know if any of you had that same situation, but I'm sure one day it will pass, and he is my best friend, and I love him. But we didn't see eye to eye to begin with. You know, sometimes when God calls you, you don't always see eye to eye with him. When you stare your destiny in the face, you don't always agree with that. Something on the inside doesn't like it, because you're still wrestling with that submission and that obedience so you can relinquish your own desires and let it be replaced with God. And so there's a season of discomfort. There's a season of pain. In fact, oftentimes obedience is painful.
Yes.
Obedience hurts.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable. And it's through that time at Christ for the Nations that I honestly didn't always enjoy it. I look back and I think, what did I learn? I don't know what I learned. But I do know that I received a call. I remember in a time of worship that was very much like today. The heaviness, the presence. It was like you could cut it with a knife. It was so thick.
Yeah.
Where God called me to the nations. And if it was only that one thing that I got out of my time at Christ for the Nations, that was all worth it. I remember in a time of worship, just like this, but it went on for about 3 hours, and I wouldn't have been sad if worship would have gone on for 3 hours today.
Amen.
I found myself laying down on the carpet, old carpet, smelly carpet. See, Bible schools don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, with my face planted in that old stinky carpet, I began to weep and weep and weep, and I felt the kabod, the heavy hand of God, come upon me. And I couldn't move. I wanted to get up. I was tired of laying there. You know, sometimes when you're in God's presence, you get tired of it. Because he's dealing with stuff you don't want dealt with. And he continued to deal with me until I surrendered. My surrender began months before, as I was driving home from university, and I said, yes, fine, God, I'll do what you say. But I had not totally given up everything. I had not yet abandoned my own desires.
Yeah.
I still had plans, even though I was at Bible school, is to go on and finish another degree so that I'd go get paid. Miles is laughing. He's laughing at me. Thank you, Lord. And so I surrendered. I began to pray Psalm 2:8, ask for the nations as your inheritance. Growing up at a Bible school, I didn't have an inheritance. We didn't have any money. We were broke.
Yeah.
We were at that poverty level. Like, if we wanted to, we could have gone and got food stamps. We were that poor. I said, God, I don't need any of that. I just want the nations.
Yeah.
And that's where it began. I'm going to share a few stories about the nations, and I'm going to deliver a word to you. Go ahead and go to the next one, because I don't know what order my countries are in. I think it's Cuba. So here is a brother in Cuba. I've been to Cuba, I think, 5 times now, and our ministry has actually trained over 40,000 people in Cuba. Even before the nation opened up, we were granted incredible favor. Less than 2% of all people that applied for religious visas were granted them. Our ministry has received them 100% of the time. So we were able to go in and we were able to start these Bible schools in all denominations, from charismatic, Pentecostal, Assemblies of God, Methodist, Lutheran. Tell you what, they all speak in tongues. They all move in signs and wonders, and almost 30% of the island are born again, spirit-filled believers. This man right here, yeah. This man right here is almost 80 years old, and he's a church planter. I'm not worthy to even take a picture with a dude like this. I said, what are you doing? He said, man, I just keep going. I go preach and start another church and go preach and start another church. And I said, well, what are you going to do after this? He's like, go start another one. I love to be in the presence of warriors like that and to lift up their arms. And so I'm just humbled for that. Let's see what the next one is. I think it's... here's one of our training events in Cuba. We had about 300 leaders that came to this event, and we trained them to plant churches. Sounds kind of ridiculous, I mean, when the place is already so saturated with the gospel, but as many of them leave, there's a leadership vacuum that continues to cycle every couple of years. So we just keep pouring into that nation, into that island, praying that God will continue to pour out His Spirit and use Cuba in a mighty way. All right, next one. India. I've been going to India for about 20 years. Miles and I got to share a room, and sometimes we'd have to actually, you know, go through some uncomfortable times and put this line of pillows down the middle of a king-size bed. Remember, Bible school students are poor. So we were sharing a $10 a night room. Me, him, and rats, and all kinds of other stuff. Been working in India for almost 20 years, and our ministry intentionally targets unreached, unengaged areas, and people who are in close proximity to those who have never heard the gospel. And we take our training in there, but we also not only take the resources and help them with church planting, but this year we're actually launching 3 training centers for oral learners. You know, most of the unreached peoples in the world are not literate. They don't have the luxury of reading books. They don't have the luxury of having scripture in their language. And the only way they learn is through story. And so we're adapting our material and our training to be delivered in a story form so that they can gather in groups, just as people have done for thousands of years from the beginning of time, to pass on not just story and tradition, but the Word of God. And so we're launching those just in a couple more months in northern India. See what else we got here. Uganda. Although our ministry is not necessarily humanitarian work, but sometimes we run across opportunities we can't pass up. In northern Uganda, in the city of Gulu, we took our training there. We established a Bible school within a church, and the community was totally transformed spiritually. But what they didn't have is any kind of sustainability so that they could live, so they could provide for themselves. They were still suffering. They were still in extreme poverty. So the first thing we did is we dug them a well. And you see right here, we got a hand pump, a hand crank well. It cost about $1,000, and now they have clean water. If you go on to the next one, you'll see a guy that's laying some bricks. Well, the next thing we did is we bought him a brick-making machine. So I don't know if you've been to Africa. If you haven't, you should go. It's a lot of fun. But a lot of their structures are built out of hay, out of sticks, and out of cow dung. And so in order to keep their structures up and viable, they have to rebuild them or tear them down and rebuild about every 7 years. So we decided we'd buy them a brick-making machine. It's actually just a press where they're able to take clay and press it, and then they fire it. And so now they're able to build permanent structures. Now they build bricks and they sell bricks. And all of the surrounding villages are buying bricks from them, so now they have some economy that's coming in. And then the next thing we did after that is take their investment and we helped them purchase a tractor. And I don't have a picture of that. But we were able to get them a tractor so they could farm 70% more of the land that they own. So now they're producing more crops, selling crops, and now they're leasing the tractor. And so they're totally transforming entire villages within their region. And they all point back
to starting with a Bible school that we established about 6-7 years ago.
I think the next slide here is some of our graduates in Northern Uganda. And I'm not the white guy there. That's one of our team leaders. You may not be able to see, but he's very bald, and I'm not bald. I think there's some kind of anointing that comes with, you know, hairiness and beards. We'll pray for the pastor, Aaron, that, you know, maybe God will anoint him with a little bit more beard. Okay, the next one. I was in Zimbabwe just a couple weeks ago. On the bottom right corner is my youngest son. His name is Amos. We travel as a family. We can't do every trip together, but I have a family. I have a wife, one wife. Some places it's important to say that. I have one wife, and I've only had one wife, and it's the same wife from the beginning. I have an adopted 22-year-old son who's in Christ for the Nations right now, and then I have two boys. That one is 8, and Amos is 14 months. And the oldest boy had to stay home for school, but my wife and youngest two sons, we were in Zimbabwe together as a family, and we continue to travel together a couple times a year as the Lord provides. And I see, after I put that picture on there, that Amos looked very thrilled. Go on to the next slide. Well, there's my wife. My wife is extremely white. She's Danish, but I mean, she's American, but her mom was from Denmark, so she's super white. Anyway, she's back there in front of the white screen. You can go on to the next slide. Here's not so white. So the picture with my littlest one, Amos, was actually taken where we're sitting under a tree with village elders, and I can't pronounce the name of the village. We are several hours outside of a minor city called Bulawayo, and which is nowhere near Harare, the capital. So we're way out. And we had the wonderful opportunity to sit around in a circle with village elders, with the village chief, and that's the water well behind us that the ministry we worked with had actually put up. And we were able to spend a couple hours with them, just pouring into them. And my youngest wasn't real happy about sitting there in the heat, but it was really a magnificent time just speaking to them. We spoke to them about legacy. It was just wonderful. I think that's all of my pictures that I have. Is there another one? I can't see back that far. All right. We're going to talk about the Word of God now. Are you ready?
Amen!
My question starts with the church. Are you ready? As I was praying today, last night, yesterday, and even as I look back in preparation, I began preparing a sermon about 2 weeks ago, and got about 80% through it, and went to sleep, and the next morning I went back to visit it and finish it off. Started all over, because God said, nope, that isn't it. This church has something. You have something that you don't realize. There's people, millions of people all around the world, that are literally begging God for what we experienced this morning. There is a hunger that is here.
Yes, it's true.
There's a passion that is here.
Yes.
There's an anointing that is here and a presence that is here. As I looked around, I saw that almost everyone was engaged. Yet at the same time, I also know that many are sitting on the fence thinking, what in the world is going on? What are people doing running around? What are people doing shouting? It was refreshing to me. I haven't been in an environment like this for 20 years. All I could do is weep because God's presence is so thick. You cannot take for granted what you have.
Yes. My God, yes. Preach.
In my home church, there are people, intercessors, that have been on their face for hours every week for more than 20 years begging God for an outpouring. I don't know why it's here.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, we don't know why God visits us with His presence in the way He does.
But sometimes we become callous to it and we don't engage with Him. And we can take it for granted. So I want to caution you, don't take this for granted. This is not normal, but it should be.
Yes.
What you got is not normal, but it should be. We dove in deep into worship immediately.
That doesn't happen. The flow of the Holy Spirit that has been going through the entire service doesn't happen.
That's not normal, but it should be.
Yes.
And God wants to release you to release that on this earth.
Yes.
As I looked up and I saw this, may it be in Lexington as it is in heaven.
May the nations experience what we experience today, because you are a catalyst to release it on earth.
Yes.
God is calling you and pulling you out of your comfort zone. He's taking you from where you are so that you can be catalyst to the world.
Yes.
There's an anointing that is going to come from here that is going to reach to the ends of the earth.
People are going to be called from here. I see even like the Moravians. People are going to be called to nations, called to peoples, just in the time of worship.
It's true.
There's an apostolic anointing, and I hate using that word because it's scary and feeble, that is upon you.
Yes.
But you must father them.
Yeah.
You must father them. You cultivate that. This church is going to be a birthing center.
Even in the presence and the manifestation of God's presence
today, as the Holy Spirit has been moving, there is something that is cultivating. But it's like those birthing pains that are happening. And soon there's going to be a release and people are going to be launched out from here. But there has to be that great inhale and exhale before you can deliver into the nations.
Yes.
It's not just for Lexington, but
yes.
It's for the nation.
Yes, yes.
And how you foster yourself today, the decisions you make today will determine where you're going in the future. Yes. The surrender,
the obedience, the embracing of the uncomfortable seasons,
the difficult seasons, even
those painful seasons.
Yes.
They will not harm you, but it may be hurtful.
It's good.
Sometimes it hurts to obey. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's uncomfortable.
Birthing a child, it's not comfortable. My wife said it's awful.
It's uncomfortable. Will you allow God to take you into a season of discomfort so that you can see His glory in the nations?
Our God.
So that you can be an ambassador. So that you can be a vessel.
Yeah.
So that you can be a catalyst. Your posture brings focus to your purpose. Today is Palm Sunday. I've been in churches where they take palm leaves and they wave them around and all of that stuff. Our posture today as we worship was honoring the Prince of Peace.
Yes.
See, when Jesus came in, He came as the Prince of Peace.
Although He was king and although He was conqueror, the task was not yet complete.
He came in as the Prince of Peace. His posture in that triumphal entry was bringing a focus and a clarity to the purpose of the task that was at hand. The way you posture yourself today here in worship, and when you go from here each morning as you wake up, the way you posture yourself will bring focus and clarity about how you live out your day,
yes.
How you live out your week,
yes.
How you live out your life and your calling.
Preach.
Amen.
It brings clarity to your purpose.
Yes.
My posture that day was laying on my face before God. And it brought clarity, it brought focus. And there's seasons where God will refocus. He'll dial it in a notch.
Yeah.
Take that lens of the camera, adjust it a bit, and get that laser focus for you. Your posture, the way you honor the Lord with your life, the way you commit yourself to Him, the way you surrender will focus your purpose. The second thing, your posture can launch your potential. You ever had someone say, "Oh, I see so much potential in you. I look over here and I see young people. I see so much potential. I look at my son, he's 22, and I see so much potential." But as a father, sometimes I also see all the different obstacles and the challenges and things he has to overcome. But the way we overcome those things is we posture ourselves before the Lord so that He will be the one that sees us through.
Yes.
We posture ourselves for victory. We posture ourselves as an overcomer so that we can press through those difficult times.
Yes.
Because a difficult time will come.
They're coming.
Storms come.
Yes.
Just because we love God doesn't mean that we are free from the challenges of life.
Amen.
Pain and tragedy come our way. Storms come our way. But the way we posture ourselves will position us to fulfill our potential. Jesus came in, riding in on a donkey. That doesn't sound like a king triumphant. It's symbolic of one who is lowly and serving, one of peace.
Yes.
But it was about to release potential that would change all of eternity. How do you position yourself today so that you can change eternity? Do you believe that? Do you believe that you can change eternity?
Yes.
Yes.
Our God is the master craftsman. He is the author of all things, and all of us are part of that story. And when we surrender and submit ourselves to Him, we become a main character. We become a player. We become a person that He can work through. A son or a daughter that has abandoned themselves so that we can reach the full potential.
Yeah.
And it's not just your potential. It's God's potential through you. Because my potential is limited.
Yes.
And I found that out.
Sometimes we get hit upside the head and find out that, "Oh man, I am awesome. I'm this great." And then, wham, the Holy Spirit hits you and just knocks that arrogance right out.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
But man, it is not comfortable when the Holy Spirit slaps you upside the head.
But sometimes we need that to get that out of us so that we can get His potential.
Yes.
The way you posture yourselves on your knees, on your face, in the Word, will launch you into your potential. Your posture will prioritize your perspective. I like peas. I don't know why. I just got on a pea kick. Next slide. Your posture prioritizes your perspective.
So good.
As you look around here, this may seem normal. This may seem common. This may seem like every Sunday, but it's not. If you would go to my church is an awesome church. You're like, "Man, this place is dead." Thank you. I love you. You are awesome. I want to take you everywhere. Sometimes I go to these churches and I preach and they're like, really bad if you do it in Texas because everyone's trying to get to a Cowboys game or something. I remember I was at a Church of God of Prophecy in Moldova, in Eastern Europe. And you would think with the name of Church of God of Prophecy. Now, denominations don't mean the same thing overseas as they do here, so don't put labels on it. I mean, they're a Pentecostal, charismatic-type denomination. But it was the most awkward church service ever. I walked in, and it was a church not nearly this size, but they had pews. And then they had these things on the stage that looked like thrones. They were these chairs that were like this tall, this big. I mean, I'm a big guy, but when I sat down, I felt small. And the chairs didn't lean back or recline a little bit. You know how the comfortable ones, like these pews, they lean back just a bit. So you don't quite fall asleep, but you're still comfortable. Well, these chairs like lean forward. It's like, good God, this is uncomfortable.
And so I sat there, and I said, this is just awful. Well, church started, and they would pull out an accordion. You ever been to church where there's an accordion? I didn't think it could get much worse, but then when I got up to preach, not one person smiled. It looked like I was staring at the face of communism itself. You all look involved with formaldehyde. The eyes open. They didn't move, didn't blink, didn't smile. When it was over, they smiled. God, it was uncomfortable. Our perspective of what the body of Christ is like is so different. What we get to enjoy here is not what the world always has. Even though some places have incredible freedoms, some places don't. Many of the places that I work, like China, North India, Vietnam, Myanmar, Cuba, they endure incredible persecution. Some of it's not just harassment from government, but sometimes it's violent. Some of my friends have been kidnapped. Some of my friends have been beaten. I had one friend whose eardrum was blown out as he was going out to share the word of us coming in a couple months to gather our leaders. I've been chased out of a border town from India and Pakistan. Like, for real. I got a call from our host who said, if you would have stayed, you would have died today. Well, I'm going to go see the Taj Mahal. Our perspective. What is your perspective? Is it about you? Is it about what you can receive? Is it about coming here and enjoying the worship and the word so that you can make it the next 6 days?
My God. Preach.
Is it just for Lexington?
Yeah.
Or Kentucky?
Yeah.
Or is it really to take God's kingdom to the world?
Yeah.
God's kingdom to the world.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
I love watching you worship.
Yeah.
I love that. My 8-year-old, I just love watching him, and he's much more animated than me. He talks so much. I mean, I can preach a lot, but I just, when I sit down, I'm pretty chill. My son talks so much, but his worship is animated, and I just love seeing that. That really blessed me. The way we posture ourselves will change your perspective. When you get up in the morning, and I'm like one of probably many of you, I need coffee quick. And the world knows I need coffee quick. But the way we think, the way we position ourselves, the way we submit ourselves to God, first thing, will change our perspective for the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
What if every day we position and posture ourselves as we were about to embark on a mission trip, on an outreach, or to go out and preach the gospel in the schools and the community? What if every day we started like that, even if we were going to school?
Amen.
We are going to work.
Yeah.
We are going to do the mundane, over and over, boring things. But our posture was different, and our perspective was different. And no longer do we look at ourselves just through, oh, I got to go through the motions.
Yeah.
But I am catalyst. I am a kingdom ambassador.
Yes.
I am a representative of the Most High.
Yes.
Changes our perspective.
It does.
How will you posture yourself today? Your posture can point you on your path. For many of you, as we're wrapping this up, your path is one that you have not yet discovered, but today God is going to release that to you.
My God.
Amen.
God is calling many of you on a new path, a path that you have not yet found. I thought I knew what my path was. I thought I knew what God had for me.
Yeah.
I thought I knew what my dreams were. I had dreams. You know, many people will say, chase the dreams that God has given you. The problem is we don't always know what dreams are ours and what dreams are God's.
True.
I hated talking in front of people. I remember my senior year, I had to do this speech in front of my class. It was miserable for everybody, including me. I shook, I sweat. I had no idea how long it went on. I talked about the Korean War. It was miserable. He is. And I thought, there is no way I could do what
my father did, or my grandmother, who is also a Pentecostal preacher. So there's no way I could get up and stand in front of people. That's just not me. Well, it wasn't too much longer after that. It was about 4 months later where God got a hold of my life. And I find myself, my first little sermonette was in front of about 1,000 students at a Bible school. And the next time I preached was in front of 30,000 people on the Bay of Bengal in India. I said, God, you better fix something quick because I'm a wreck. My path was different, and your path may be different from what you thought you had.
Yes.
The nations are called. The nations are groaning for people to bring the Word of God. I meet people all the time who are not just having dreams and visions, but they are getting Christophanies, visitations from Christ. The world needs us to go. The world needs you to go. You need to take what you have experienced here, this manifest presence of God,
yes,
where you can say, this is a reality. God's kingdom can be reality,
yes,
on earth.
Yes.
And I'm going to take that to the world. God is releasing many of you today on a new path. He is pointing you into a new place. And my final point is, He is pointing you in a place of power.
Yes.
The way you position yourself will release or limit God's power.
My God, that's teach.
If you do not allow God to move through you, you are limiting His power. That doesn't mean He can't get it accomplished, but He wants to use you. He has called us as co-laborers to bring in the harvest of the nations. The nations are yearning. There's over 1,700 unreached, unengaged peoples in the earth, people who have never heard about Jesus. People that have not had the opportunity to make a decision for Him. What you do today could unlock nations. What you do today could unlock people that have never yet heard about Jesus. The way you choose to walk out your next steps,
yes,
could have an impact on the earth for eternity. It is a release of God's power. Not only for the earth, but for you. Transformational power. Next weekend, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. A lot of times we look at the cross, and we should look at the cross, but He's not on the cross anymore.
Amen.
We serve a resurrected God.
Yeah.
We serve a God that has overcome death. He has overcome the enemy. See, there was a great transfer of power that took place at the resurrection. He took back those keys of,
yes, he did,
death, the grave. He took back that authority. He took back that position.
Satan was tempting him. He was saying, you know, if you bow before me, I'll give you everything.
Now, you may not have had the devil tempt you in that way, but if you bow to the desires and the,
yeah,
things of the world will lay it out before you.
Yes, they will.
But if you hold on to the promise of God, you will release His power. Today, I am believing that we all come into alignment with the Holy Spirit and that we would release the resurrection power not only in this body and in this community, but it'll be a release that will have impact throughout the entire world. God is going to make this a birthing center and a release of power. You are going to see people raised up in signs and wonders and prophetic and words of knowledge.
Yes, sir.
That even as you go out into the streets, you're going to speak to people and you're going to release life in them. You're going to see transformation that happens. Things that you would think would take months or even years for someone to be discipled and grown into. All kinds of 12-step, AA, freedom kind of programs, discipleship programs, and go on and on. But God is going to accelerate things through Southern Acres. As I was walking in, I said, hey, it's Sobers. Wait to see. And even though it's a joke, I think there's some truth to that. I just want to come and soak. You know, when you soak in God's presence, what happens when you get squeezed? You know, if you soak up good stuff, when you get squeezed, good stuff comes out. If you soak up bad stuff, what comes out?
Yeah. You're going to birth people into prophetic and empowerment.
Let's pray. God's going to start releasing stuff. Father, we thank you for this time and the release of your power, the release of your presence. Father, I thank you that there is an authority here as we position ourselves for your purposes. Lord, I thank you that as we posture ourselves in humility and servanthood, as we get on our knees in the Spirit, on our faces, as we submit to you, even though it's uncomfortable, even though it may hurt, we know that it's not harmful, but it is a catalyst for you, for your kingdom. Father, I pray a release of your Holy Spirit today, Lord, as a mighty rushing wind. Lord, I call forth destiny. I call forth your ministry. I call forth a release of giftings, spiritual giftings in each person now. Those who are even sitting on the fence, thinking, man, this is just way out. I thought God's presence was powerful before, but now you're calling me to give up everything and to surrender. Lord, I pray that you would take these people, just like you did to me, and say, I don't want you there, I want you here. Call them.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to us, each one.
Jesus.